WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. According to the vast majority of economists recently surveyed by the Wall Street Journal, full employment is finally here or is rapidly approaching in America. When asked if the U.S. economy had reached full employment, 42% said yes, but 48% said no. But of those 48% who said no, the majority believe that full employment is right around the corner. Just 9% of economists indicated that the U.S. isn't close to full employment. Full employment doesn't mean, of course, that every American who wants a job has one. As indicated by writer Ben Lubsdorf, economists use the term to describe the point at which unemployment can't go any lower without triggering serious price and wage pressures. The U.S. unemployment rate was 4.1% in January, meaning that it remains at its lowest level in approximately 17 years. Unemployment peaked at 10% during the immediate aftermath of the 2007 to 2009 recession. Economists have repeatedly reduced their estimates for the lowest sustainable unemployment rate in recent years, as joblessness has fallen without generating strong wage gains or price increases. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Average hourly earnings were 2.9% higher in January than a year earlier, a sign that wages in America may finally be gaining traction in what has been a tightening labor market. Recent media reports are filled with episodes of companies issuing bonuses and raising corporate minimum wages. The implication is that wage growth is likely to strengthen as 2018 proceeds. However, the fact that wage growth has only recently begun to accelerate has been a source of enormous mystery to many economists. One possible reason for the delay in stronger wage growth is the collapse in the rate of union membership among private sector employees. As indicated by the New York Times, last year, fewer than 7% of private sector employees belonged to a union. That is down from the upper teens during the early 1980s. Average pay for workers represented by unions tends to be higher than for those who aren't members of a union, even after controlling for education and other characteristics. Washington University research further indicates that in industries and in regions in which unions have larger presence, pay tends to be higher for all low and medium wage workers, not just those represented by unions. That's because non-union firms are more likely to have to match those higher union wages. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. With wages rising more rapidly and with the economy producing significant numbers of job openings, one might think that many men and women will be jumping into the U.S. labor force. But recently, female labor force participation has been falling. And while the labor force participation rate for men ages 25 to 54 recently rose to a 7-year high, prime age male labor force participation remains considerably lower than it was when the Great Recession began about a decade ago. Labor force participation rates have declined much more rapidly among men with only a high school education. This is consistent with the notion that declining labor force participation is at least partly attributable to falling demand for certain kinds of labor, especially blue-collar work in manufacturing. As indicated by Bloomberg, there are many other potential factors, including that more men are staying home to take care of children and that some men have found things that are more interesting to do, like watching television or playing video games. 2014 data indicate that men who are not in the labor force spent nearly 6 hours a day watching television. These men are also much more likely to be using prescription painkillers. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Now might be a particularly good time to pay down your credit cards. The debt levels of Americans have been climbing recently, even as interest rates have been rising, a combination that could begin to put many consumers in a financial bind. The Federal Reserve recently indicated that overall consumer borrowing surged by nearly 9% in November, the most in more than 2 years. While this is an indication of growing confidence in the economy, it also presents a growing source of concern. As indicated by the Associated Press, the category of debt that is comprised primarily of credit cards jumped by more than $11 billion to a level now exceeding $1 trillion. Without adjusting for inflation, that's the highest level on record. Predictably, a growing number of experts has concluded that more people are overextending themselves financially. With the Federal Reserve expected to increase key interest rates several times later this year, the cost of carrying debt on credit cards is very likely to rise. The average annual percentage rate on credit cards is already in the neighborhood of 16%. You can, of course, ask your credit card companies if they will lower your rates. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. As indicated by writer Justin Wolfers, for decades, the number of women studying economics had been on the rise. That helped to ease what has been a persistent scarcity of professional female economists in the U.S. But new data indicate that the share of women studying economics at America's universities has flatlined and that the pool of prospective female economists may now be shrinking. That pattern would be concerning in any academic field offering professional opportunities, but is especially problematic given that economics has an outsized influence on public policy. The result could be that male voices will end up dominating far too many policy debates. Wolfer states that at virtually every level of training and every professional rank within economics, women represent a minority. Women are also less likely than men to progress at each successive step along the career path, a situation that has been referred to as a leaky pipeline. The result is that the male-female ratio at senior economist levels is especially lopsided. A new report from the American Economics Association indicates that since the turn of the century, there has been no increase in the share of women entering the pipeline to become professional economists. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu.